Hello, everybody. Gene from Infendo Radio. Just here to remind you that we are now an explicit podcast, meaning we will use curse words. Also, we lost the last 30 minutes of audio for this show due to recording issues. We finished up the Infendo Top 5 and pretty much lost the entire community section and what we have been playing. So, sorry about that. Just wanted to let you know that up front, the show will end a little bit abruptly. So, I hope everybody enjoys the show, and sorry for any inconvenience this may have caused.
We put the donkey in Donkey Kong. Infendo Radio is on now.
And welcome to Infendo Radio. That was my host, Justin Clough.
Good guess.
Well, I only know because your part of the Skype screen lit up, so, you know, it told me it was you. I've also got Mike with me tonight.
What's up? If you hear any sniffling or coughing in the background, it's because I'm coming out of the weather. I'm not on cocaine right now or anything. I'm clear. It's just I'm feeling a bit drowsy. My girlfriend got me sick over the weekend. So.
Yeah, Justin and Mike are feeling a little sick, but me and Sunny New Mexico, I'm feeling great.
Yeah, you keep talking shit. See what happens.
Well, Chris, you know, Chris is on the East Coast right now, so when he comes back, he's probably going to get me sick just like y'all. So I'm expecting it.
There you go.
But anyways, we're here.
I'm quiet right now because I'm trying to do my Infendo Top 5 ahead of time, and I'm concentrating on that.
Well, yeah, we're here to talk games. So, like Justin was just saying, we got a big show ahead. We've got Infendo Top 5 coming back. We got the news section. So yeah, let's just get to it. Kind of a slow news week, all truth be told. But yeah, one of the things.
Haven't they all been?
Yeah, that's true. But you know,
yeah, I mean, there was some Pokemon news earlier in the week, but I'm not getting spoilers, so I forbid you guys from talking about it while I'm here. So.
Yeah, no, I don't. I haven't been putting Pokemon Sun and Moon stuff in specifically because I'm not keeping up on it. I want to be as surprised as I can about the game. So.
I will say real quick, there's a demo coming out in the middle of the month for Sun and Moon, but I'm not gonna play it. But if you are, you know, now you know about that.
No, I don't want to play it because then I have to play that whole. All that stuff again, like when I get the actual game in like a week.
Exactly, that's how I feel. So.
Like, oh, the save file doesn't carry over.
No, the demo. You can transfer stuff from the demo, but you don't actually get to have a save file from Sun Moon demo into the actual game.
Right. Yeah.
That sucks.
Yeah, I don't like it. So, anyways, news. So this news actually comes from 2005, but it's from a Japanese interview. Mario is actually about 24 to 25 years old, according to Miyamoto.
So Bob Hoskins was just a little out of the age range when they cast him.
Yeah, exactly.
But John Leguizamo was right on.
Yeah, I mean, what do you think about that? I've never thought of Mario as being like, you know, a college age kid. You know, he seems like more.
I feel really bad because I can't grow facial hair, and this guy's 25. This guy's 25 and has a full-on Ron Jeremy growing on his face.
Yeah.
Well, you're not Italian. That's the problem.
No, I'm Irish. We just get drunk.
Yeah. I don't know.
I don't see it. I don't know. For some reason, just the way he's always illustrated and depicted, I would have said, you know, 40s. But yeah, since he's a cartoon character, I never really actually put any thought in it because he's drawn pretty generically. I mean, yeah, okay, he could be in his 20s, he could be in his 60s, who the hell knows? He's a cartoon. He's like Mickey Mouse. Who knows how old Mickey Mouse is?
Yeah, right. Yeah. It's like with Ash in the Pokemon anime. He's been 10 for how many years now? It's like,
yeah, I was gonna say he's gotta be in his mid-30s by now.
Right.
And I plus like Peach looks so old and acts so much older than a 25-year-old, I guess, if assuming she's the same age as Mario is, but
hey, maybe
it doesn't seem like it'd be a actual thing. Maybe Mario has like a sugar mama complex or like a cuckoo complex. You never know.
Right. Yeah. Like,
you know, no shame, whatever.
Well, unlike Link, you know, like in Ocarina of Time, when there was a definitive like timeline, 7 years, a 7 year time span that you're playing, like you didn't really think about age for a character like Mario, you know, he's just Mario. But now Miyamoto just had to do this to me, and now I think of him as younger than me. I'm older than Mario.
Yeah, oddly enough, Link has always had, and I think it's just because of the way he's always depicted. He's always had kind of a general age. You know, I mean, the first game he's illustrated as being a boy, maybe like 8, 9 or something.
Mm-hmm.
And then in the second game, he looks like a mid to late teenager, and the same thing with Link to the Past.
Right.
Ocarina of Time, of course, you had very definite ages. So, I mean, Link, it's probably, again, just the way the character is drawn or rendered or whatever, it's usually pretty clear what age he is.
Right.
But, yeah, Mario, yeah. Mario's got, again, he's just got such a generic design, I never would have thought to put an age on him. And I'm honestly going to chalk this up to Miyamoto has a tendency to just kind of say whatever thought comes in his head. And, you know,
yeah,
kind of like what's happened with the Zelda timeline about, you know, well, every game has a different Zelda, except Majora's Mask is clearly the same Zelda Link. Majora's Mask is clearly the same Link as in Ocarina of Time, so that can't be true and all that. So
yeah.
I think he just has a thought in his head and he says it, and then, you know, 5, 10 years later, he has a different thought on the same matter and says it and complete disregard of whatever it was, because, you know, who cares? He created them. He can do whatever he wants.
Miyamoto gonna do whatever the hell he pleases, and Miyamoto's gonna make us all deal with it.
Yeah, Miyamoto gonna Miyamoto, and we're gonna like it, because sometimes that brings us Pikmin.
Very rarely.
Yeah, so how old is Olimar, then?
Oh, I don't 12. Know. 12. No, doesn't he have kids? In the Pikmin 3 game, don't you play as his kids?
Oh, I don't know.
No, not as kids.
No spoilers. I haven't played it.
They're not as kids, I think. But no, he does have kids. But yeah. Well, Pikmin's Olimar's also like 3 inches tall. So I mean, who are we to judge?
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, because he's about the size. He's not even as the size of a Duracell battery, as we learn from Pikmin 1.
Yeah. What I want to. If Mario's really 25, that's kind of like macabre in a way, because think about it, Baby Mario and Baby Luigi, like, fell on Yoshi's Island and stuff, and there's a whole island of Yoshis and stuff, and 25 years later, Mario's a full-grown adult, there's, like, almost no Yoshis anywhere. So, of course, at 25, like, 20 years or so, like, Yoshi's, like, just stops to exist altogether, like, you're done.
Jeez.
And not if you go by Super Mario RPG, where there's, again, an entire island of Yoshis.
Yeah, but who knows if that's really canon or not.
Yeah. I'd like to think that Geno...
My sentiments exactly.
I'd like to think that Geno was a Mario character, but he's, you know, I guess Nintendo kind of either forgot about him or doesn't have the rights to him from Super Mario RPG.
Well, no, he's had cameos in the Mario and Luigi games.
Oh, really?
Okay. As a matter of fact, I just made a Perler Bead sprite of Geno based on his Mario and Luigi sprite. So yeah, Nintendo still has some ownership of him, and I don't know how much of that is Mario and Luigi is more the continuation of Super Mario RPG, whereas Paper Mario is its own separate entity.
Right.
And so maybe there's like a writer or somebody that carried over who has ownership of the character, but yeah, Nintendo really has an outside of Mario and the Super Mario RPG and the Mario and Luigi games where he has cameos. Geno's, yeah, kind of just disappeared.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, I'm going to go on MarioWiki.com and see what they have to say about it.
Well, while you do that, we're going to move on to the next little news topic, I suppose, because Mario being 25 really makes me sad. So, yeah, Pokemon...
How do you think I feel?
Yeah, shoot. Well, Pokemon Go is getting an update sometime, and it kind of seems like a neat one. what it's going to do is if you catch a certain type of Pokemon based upon like the Pokemon's type on their badges, I think. Like a Psychic type.
Damn you, autocorrect.
Like a Gardener patch. Yeah, then you would get you'll get new bonuses on capturing those Pokemon, so like you'll be able to catch more of that type of Pokemon. So I think that's kind of a cool little update to add to the game. What do you guys think?
It's basically like, to sum it up in like a easier, because you kind of had a rough time going about that one there, but
yeah.
So like to basically sum that up, there for Pokemon Go people who haven't played the game yet, there are badges and achievements, I guess you can call them, for Pokemon Go. Or medals, they're actually really called. And
yeah.
It's like, I was like, oh, catch 10 of this type, then, oh, catch 50, then catch 200. And so on for each type, and there's like, catch like 50 small Rattata, and like catch 10 Pikachu, and
yeah,
like
catch
10 giant
ground type.
Yeah, and like shit like that. But like, and like now, those medals actually mean something, because like before, like, it's like, oh, hey, I caught this many Pokemon, whatever. But now, apparently, when this comes out, I was reading about it this morning, actually, and some of the articles I was reading were kind of falsifying in their explanation. You're not going to be able to catch rare Pokemon of that type. It's going to help you increase your capture rate for that type. Like, so let's say I have, like, 300 water Pokemon. I'm not going to just find a Blastoise outside my house now. It means if I find, like a Squirtle or a Shellder, like a Magikarp, I have an increased
chance. Can you catch the starters?
Yeah, you can catch them.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, because I know it starts out, you can choose between the three main starters, and then if you reject them, you can get a Pikachu or stuff like that, but I didn't know whether you could find them in the wild. As long as I'm interrupting anyway. According to MarioWiki.com, Geno has had three appearances. One I don't really count. Super Mario RPG, obviously. He had a cameo in Mario & Luigi's Superstar Saga. That was the first one on the Game Boy Advance. And, of course, there's the costume you can download on Smash Brothers. And according to Mario Wiki, quote, although Geno appears in Mario & Luigi's Superstar Saga, he is a registered trademark of Square Enix, as noted in the end credits of the game. They state, regardless of the above-mentioned, the copyright of Geno reserved by Square Enix Company Limited. So that would be why Nintendo doesn't use Geno anymore, which I kind of thought was the case, but I thought it was weird that he would appear in a Mario game that, you know, Square had nothing to do with.
I bet you at the end of the credits they have a special thanks for Square Enix or something in it.
Right. Am I still here? Did I lose a call? Am I still here?
No, you're here.
Do you hear something? There's some strange voice echoing in the chat. All right, go ahead. Go back to talking about Pokemon. I just wanted to throw that in there.
And back to Mike.
Anyway, yeah, like Pokemon Go with the update. Like I was saying, you're not gonna be able to find rare Pokemon, but if you have like all the like a golden water type metal, you can catch like water types easier. So if you happen to find a Magikarp, or if you happen to find a Blastoise, which is like God bless the luck. You have an easier time catching it than you would normally. It's okay, because it's just like the higher level you are, the more Pokemon run away from you and like bat your Pokeballs away from you and jump away from the balls and just be dicks overall.
Right.
So this is a better way of saying, we're not going to make the game easier for you and like increase your capture rate, but we're going to make you work for it. Which I think is pretty cool. I mean, it's not trading or battling yet, but I mean, small things.
Yeah. And yeah, it doesn't help you see more Pokemon, right? Because I've heard it both ways, that it will and that it won't.
No, because like I guess like people were reading it wrong online, making bad news about it. But you're not gonna find like I was saying, you're not gonna find a Blastoise walking around now because you have like a better metal. You're gonna find more of that type. That's all. I mean, you're gonna have a better chance of catching them.
Right. Yeah. So, like, if you catch a lot of water type Pokemon, then it'll be easier to catch more water type Pokemon.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah. That's kind of the gist of it. And yeah, there's a link from Niantic's actual website, but yeah, it's kind of cool. I like that they're iterating. At least it's not, like you said, it's not the big one, but it's something.
Yeah.
Are they ever going to give us a big one?
Yeah, they're waiting. Well, they said before the game came out. They're going to wait till all the game has had a worldwide launch date, and they're still putting the game out. I found out last night it came out in like 35 more countries in the past week and a half.
Mm-hmm.
All like third world countries and stuff, like Azerbaijan and like right. other places like that, and like Herzegovina and Bosnia and Serbia. I'm pulling really deep into my history class here. Holy shit. But apparently, like, after they get like a worldwide launch, they're going to put like trading and battling out. I guess they want it to be like more like they want it to be less unfortunate for people who don't have the game yet.
Mm-hmm.
So like they don't want people to like trade and stuff without everyone in the world having it, I guess, which is cool. But you know, get the game out faster then or something. I think, God, what the fuck are you doing?
I don't know. They must not be able to like we've been saying for weeks and weeks and weeks. They just must not have gauged the popularity that this was. I mean, but how could they have? But still, just go.
Well, you know, they could have gone by how many people purchased the virtual console versions of the, you know, Pokemon Red, Blue, and Yellow, because that was huge. And since this basically appeals to roughly the same market, except a larger market, because it's people who have smartphones, not just people who have a particular game system,
mm-hmm.
they should have, you know, been able to use that as some sort of cultural barometer.
They should have just found out how many devices or people have ever downloaded a game on the App Store, either App Store, and gotten enough servers to account for that, because that's pretty much what happened. And
right, because especially since they you know, it was free to download, free to start. So, yeah, of course, everybody who's ever heard of Pokemon is going to download it. Everybody who's never heard of Pokemon but heard how big this game was is going to download it. You know, it's...
Yeah, yeah.
It's free. Why not?
I mean,
yeah.
you're owned by fucking Google, so you've got the money and the servers to make this happen, you would think, so... Make it happen!
Well, they were... No, they were
their servers are all busy pumping ads out for YouTube.
Yeah.
They should have did what a politician do, just send a phone call everybody in the country, like, hey, do you want to play Pokemon? Yes? No? Okay, we'll make a game for you.
Yeah.
Pardon?
At the very least, they are iterating slowly, so maybe we'll even get stuff that we didn't know we wanted, kind of like this, but I still stand by that I want tracking back. I want to be able to...
Yeah.
To kind of walk around and get a good idea of where the Pokemon is, you know, like in its first iteration.
I still stand by that there are none near me, so why bother?
But you know, I mean, if the tracking was fixed, you would know definitively that there's none near you. So at least there's that. I remember when it first launched. I don't know how valid it was, but you could turn your phone around and kind of there would be a circle that flashes around you, like green or blue or whatever, and then the same thing would happen with the Pokemon nearby thing. So if you selected a Pokemon and it would flash green, supposedly you were walking towards it. I don't know how, if that was...
That's not exactly how it went. What would happen is that green circle like flashing at a nearby meter meant like a Pokemon's is getting closer, not necessarily the one you're looking at, because
right,
you didn't have to like pick a Pokemon like target that Pokemon for it to do that.
Mm-hmm.
So people who said that, oh, you're tracking one Pokemon, that's not how it worked. But I'm trying to think how that worked. Now it's been so long. It's been so long without tracking. I forget how it worked.
Yeah, and
what are you doing to me?
It's crazy too, because they never really told you how it worked to begin. It was just all like...
No, you had to figure it out. Like, the game tells you nothing. But what I found is whenever I walked, if a Pokemon like appeared on my nearby or disappeared or like moved got closer or moved up on the list, it would flash green, kind of like, I guess, a kind of like a notification to say, hey, you know, there's something new here, there's something changed, come look at it.
Right.
It wasn't more or less like, hey, you're getting closer to this one Pokemon. It's more like, hey, look at me, I have something important to tell you. Like, hey, listen.
Yeah.
Well, you're right. They definitely don't tell you anything, because I remember for a few days after I started playing the game, I still didn't know how to catch a Pokemon. I didn't know that you had to hold your finger on the Pokemon and then fling the Pokeball with just the right, you know, angle and velocity and all that. I'm throwing Pokeballs all over the place. I'm tapping all over the screen. I couldn't figure it out. Yeah, there's absolutely no tutorial. There are no tips, you know, nothing to teach you how to use the game. So, you know, forget trying to learn all this, you know, deeper, you know, all these deeper features.
But that, you know, that's kind of the curse and the blessing of that game, because, you know, I got all my misinformation from the internet and talking to people while walking around and playing the game. You know, they would say, oh yeah, if you click it, then it turns green. You know, you're walking towards that Pokemon. And I'm like, okay, well, I'll try it, I guess, because I don't fucking know.
If you throw the Pokemon and tap it, you get it back. No,
yeah.
It doesn't work.
Yeah.
Yeah, it does.
Oh yeah, falling for that one.
Right.
That made me so mad.
It almost brings back like the whole playground NES days, you know, of like discussing Ninja Gaiden and learning where the secrets are in Castlevania and stuff, you know.
It really does though, because there's a gym right by my house I go to every day just to see if I can get my Pokemon in there, and there's one kid trying to battle with me. He's on Team Valor and stuff. He's like, I'm telling him how to play and how to capture the gyms and stuff, and he's like, oh, you got Mewtwo yet? I'm like, oh, he's not out in the game yet. He's not, you know, he's not in the game. He can't get him.
Yeah.
Oh, my friend got him. I'm like, oh, no, you didn't. He didn't get it.
Like, yeah. But, hey, you are talking to a games journalist here. Yeah. I know my shit.
Yeah, I just took my journalism degree and whipped it in his face. You know, and zipped it out.
Flash out your press card.
Yeah. See, this Nintendo, I know what I'm talking about. No, but I was like, no, he's not out. He's like, oh, no, my friend said he went down to his basement and he caught it. I'm like, nigga, you got played.
Yeah.
Congrats. You...
So,
DJ Khaled popped out, like, you played yourself.
Either your friend's full of shit or you're full of shit and you think I'm dumb.
Right.
I'm like, nah, see, he's not in the game yet. They're going to wait for him and stuff. Oh, no, he said he got him. Did he show it to you? No, he put it on Facebook, though. I'm like, man, he fooled you good, dude.
Right. Well, and you know, that kind of like this on the same topic with the, you know, the playground discussion and the telephone game is this whole Papa John's NX thing, you know. We were talking to Justin about it before the podcast because he hadn't really heard about it. But Mike, why don't you tell us kind of what happened, because you're the one that put this news topic on the docket.
All right, yeah, cool. I found it. Someone retweeted it on my Twitter, and then like a Polygon, everyone else caught up onto it. But I guess Papa John's has having some kind of new like big release, I guess, for a pizza or something. I guess so. Maybe they're gonna redo their box or design or whatever. But they're like, oh, October 10th, we're gonna show off something new, and it's a big box on the screen, like two boxes. And Nintendo fans, being greedy and thirsty for information as they are, and I guess being hungry too, because Papa John's, because what the fuck, that's terrible pizza. I hate Papa John's, but I digress. But people are like, oh, is that the NX? You can show off the NX? Oh my god! Everyone's going off about it, and like, no one thinks it's real, but it's just a funny little like troll topic. It's, yeah. You know,
right?
Oh my god, guys, the NX is coming out.
Papa John's was trending for a little bit on Twitter because of that. It was pretty funny.
Yeah, and you know, it just shows how evil and devious Nintendo fans are. Because I remember when the first presidential debates came out, someone tweeted to me like, "Oh, hey, they showed off the NX release, you know, during the debate." I'm like, "No, they didn't." I clicked on the link, and went to like, "Oh, vote.org." I'm like, "Oh, you're good."
Right.
That's sneaky.
Yeah, it's just funny how
all of a sudden now I'm registered to vote because of Nintendo. Thanks.
Yeah. There you go. But I think it's just hilarious.
If Trump wins now, it's all fucking Nintendo's fault because Shigeru Miyamoto didn't show me the NX and I voted for the wrong party.
Well, it's just hilarious.
Yeah, we got a lot of things riding on the next few weeks.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Between the presidency and the next 5 years of video game consoles from Nintendo, we've got a lot riding on October, I guess, huh?
Yeah, and you know what, though? Honestly, like, the Papa John's thing wasn't... I mean, it would be bad for like a reveal, but like it wouldn't surprise me if they haven't had a sponsorship deal, because Nintendo's done that stuff before. I mean, I'm playing Wave Race Blue Storm right now. I just bought that over the weekend, Tuesday. I went down to King of Prussia Mall down in Pennsylvania, and it's a used game store. I bought Wave Race Blue Storm for GameCube for $10. I'm like, hell yeah, I love that game.
Nice.
And I'm playing, it's a great game.
Still not as good as the N64 one, though.
No, it's not, but I still love it. It's a lot more hardcore, I guess. It's more like edgy and shit. But I'm playing it, and then like the young kid has a fucking McDonald's big M on his logo right in front of his jet ski. I'm like, oh, that's random. And like, they're not even trying to hide that. It's like, oh, right there, McDonald's. Oh, Game Boy Advance, McDonald's, PlayStation, like Nintendo.
Right.
Yeah. I was watching a video on YouTube about the changes they made in Wave Race 64, and apparently they have to change the billboards in a lot of those games. In Wave Race 64, I don't remember what they had. I think they had ads for actual Japanese companies that they just changed the billboards to, you know, like Nintendo stuff. And then the billboards in Mario Kart 64 were parodies of actual companies. And there was like one that... with parodied Marlboro and gasoline companies and stuff like that. And they changed them all for the U.S. release because, you know, the U.S. is all Sue happy about stuff like that.
Hmm. Yeah. I didn't even realize that. That's pretty interesting.
The more you know.
Yeah, right. Well, I knew about the...
The more useless crap you know, that's me.
The first I remember hearing about advertising in games was, like, in the Metal Gear games, you know, there's a lot of that kind of, like, subliminal advertising, but, yeah.
Is there?
Yeah, like the...
That's odd, because they take place in the future, so what are they advertising for? Then again, so do Blade Runner. So.
Well, maybe not just advertising, but there's just, like, product placement, I guess, is more the correct term, because there's just, like, isn't there, like, batteries and, like, Doritos and stuff like that in the game?
No. I don't know. You might be getting into Metal Gear games that I haven't played.
I think that's in, like, Peace Walker, if I'm not mistaken. There's stuff like that going on in that game.
I've never played Metal Gear, so I couldn't tell you. I'm missing out on a lot, I know, but...
I was just about to ask. I couldn't remember whether it was you or Chris who was obsessed with Metal Gear. Because I know it's come up on the show a few times.
Chris is. I'm not huge on the Metal Gear franchise. I you know, most of the information I get is by watching Let's Plays or just hearing about it on podcasts and such, so.
New game yet!
Yeah, but anyways, yeah, that's about it for the news. Not really much going on this week, so we're going to move on. So, yeah, the next little section is all the games that are coming out, and since it's Thursday, we got a lot of games showing up on the eShop for both consoles, so, we'll just kind of run through the list real quick and talk about anything that strikes our fancy. First and foremost is Paper Mario Color Splash, which is something I'm actually interested in. Are you guys looking forward to that game? Are you guys going to pick it up at all?
I wasn't, because I was like, oh, you know, they've ruined Paper Mario, you know, I'm done with it. And I Sticker Star sucked, and, like, everyone's saying how bad Color Splash is, but I'm like, you know what? It's colorful. I'm in a very colorful game binge, you know, it can't be that bad. People are saying it's better than Sticker Star, so I'm like, fuck it, I'm gonna play it.
Yeah.
I think I'm gonna buy it. I'll probably buy it over the weekend or something, maybe, but...
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, if I had the time and money, I'd probably be playing it, but I still haven't beaten... Still haven't beaten Thousand Year Door, and I still haven't beaten Super Paper Mario, so I think I'm gonna take one of those off my list before I play another one.
Right.
Same to you.
Well, I want to pick it up. I'm not gonna pick it up right away because there's just too much other stuff that I'm looking to be playing, and I don't know. Maybe I'll pick it up on a used game rack or something, or I'll pick it up on a sale if there ever is one. But yeah, it definitely is something that I'm looking forward to.
Yeah. It'd be nice if, like, my Nintendo was like, oh, hey, here's a discount for Paper Mario Color Splash, you know. It's like a 50% discount, but no.
Right. I guess the best sale that I can hope for is ordering it right now on Amazon and getting I think it's like
20% off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, but unfortunately, I just not looking to play it here in the next 2 weeks, so probably not gonna pick it up right now. So, anyways, next game on the virtual console for Wii U is Mario and Donkey Kong 2 March of the Minis. Pretty good game. That's the DS one, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, it's the DS one, and And we've talked about this before, how much I loved Donkey Kong on the Game Boy, and I loved Mario vs. Donkey Kong on the Game Boy Advance, and when I saw that this was the direction the series was going, I was very disappointed. And they might be great games, they might not be, I don't know, I never played them, because I want to go back to my old puzzle platforming.
Right.
Yeah, I got turned off, because my mother used to work as a retail merch for like specialists and stuff. So I'd be like in Kmart all day long, like while she's doing stuff. And you know, back in the day when like Kmart, Walmart had like a display stand for Game Boys and shit.
Yeah.
And Mario vs. Donkey Kong on Game Boy Advance was out, and I was playing that, and it just bored the hell out of me. So I'm not even gonna bother picking this one up. Right. Like I don't.
Oh,
I don't,
you didn't like the Game Boy Advance one?
No, I don't like the Mario vs. Donkey Kong. Like I don't. Like the whole mini thing, like the whole like walking, like it doesn't seem like a nice direction. I know that whatchamacallit, like the Game Boy games and stuff are like kind of similar, I guess, in a way, but it just doesn't seem like a very entertaining way to go with like all these toys and like other weird random shit.
I kind of got my feel with the Game Boy Advance version of it. I didn't really feel like I wanted to play any. I didn't want to play another one, and then they kept pumping out another one after another one. What? How many are there now? Is there three or four of the Mario vs. Donkey Kong?
I don't know.
Games?
They just put out like a 3DS one that's like free for like amiibo and stuff. So I have that.
Oh yeah, I haven't tried that yet. I got plenty of amiibo.
I'm not very impressed by it, but it's something. It's free.
Yeah, it's free.
Yeah, I should try the free one just to see what it's like now. But yeah, I mean, I liked the Game Boy one, I liked the Game Boy Advance one, and I haven't had any interest in any of them since then.
Right. No. Well, on the Virtual Console on 3DS, Mega Man X2 comes out, so if you've got some Mega Man love, maybe you can give that one a go, but I never really got into the X series, to be honest with you. I kind of lost interest after all the NES games.
I kind of lost interest with the NES games.
Well, there was six of them.
I never played them much when, you know, back in the day, but I bought Legacy Collection because I thought, no, $15 for six NES games, you know, what the hell,
right,
you know?
Right.
And I played some of it, and it just not my thing. I don't like the super hard games.
Yeah, they are tough. I remember having a lot of fun with a Game Genie and Mega Man like 6 and Mega Man 2, but
if Legacy Collection had Game Genie compatibility, that'd be great. Right? Just let me, you know, hack and cheat my way through the games. Yeah. I got the GoldenEye.
Yeah, you're like, I bought the damn game, so why not? But yeah. So there's a couple of eShop games coming out on the Wii U. This one is actually coming out on the Wii U and the 3DS. Word Search Pwong? Pwongle? Pwongy? I don't know.
Pwongy?
Yeah. Word Search 3DS for the 3DS and Wii. On the Wii U...
It's a word search. That's all you gotta know.
Yeah.
I remember that game. We had two of us... reviewed it on Nintendo Fever, and we all gave it really bad scores because it was kind of a really boring game. It wasn't worth playing. But if you like word search, go for it. But pick one version, because I guess like both versions are almost exactly the same. It's not worth playing both of them. So
yeah, I wonder.
Do you want word searches, and if it's cheap, I might plunk down a dollar, maybe even two, to have a word search game on my 3DS. But
well, that it's on sale from it's not a new title, but so it's on sale from until October the 13th. It says at 9 a.m. So yeah, give it a if you want a word search game. Now's your chance, I guess. But yeah, so on the eShop for the Wii U is Hot Rod Racer coming out, Infinity Runner, The Letter. Chompy Chomp Chomp Party. I kind of
all right.
Yeah,
that's a cool name.
Yeah. Then you got Joe's Diner, Christmas Adventure.
Somebody got
Rocket
paid to
Run,
come up with that.
B3 Game Expo for Bees, and all these games are on sale. So I might have to give Chompy Chomp Chomp Party a go for 50% off. I don't know. It's $6 though. We'll see. I'll have to see what it's all about. And then
it's $2 a chomp, so.
Yeah. And then on sale on the eShop on the 3DS is Aquamoto Racing 3D, Funfair Party Games, Me and My Furry Patience 3D, My Life on a Farm 3D, and Castle Conquer Defender, Glory of Generals the Pacific. All on sale this week. So, yeah, that's interesting.
Me and My Furry Patience. I know it's talking about animals, but oh my god, I do not want that to be about what I thought it was about. If I was a doctor and I saw a big giant fox coming in with a big giant fucking fursuit, I would escort him out with handcuffs.
Yeah.
That's not where my mind was going at all, but we'll just, you know, leave that there.
Have you like gone and like really dug into the eShop on the 3DS and the Wii U? There's some stuff, man.
I search through every week and see the same old crap and don't bother with most of it, to be honest with you, but
you know, it's actually kind of hard to find the new stuff that's coming out. Actually, new this week is Act It Out, A Game of Charades, Hurry Up Bird Hunter, Ninja Pizza Girl, which is actually supposed to be pretty good from what I hear, PSIBO, whatever that is, Scorb, Disney 2-Pack, Frozen Big Hero 6 Combo, whatever that means, and Epic Word Search Holiday Special, and Pixel Hunter. So, yeah, and Psycho Pigs. All these new all these indie games I'm assuming that are
I might need to get Ninja Pizza Girl and Psycho Pig just cuz they sound wonderful.
I don't remember
Ninja Pizza that vanished quickly without trace.
Nice pull. I like that. I'm not sure where I heard it from, but I heard that Ninja Pizza Girl is actually kind of worth a look. So I really wish, like you were saying, Justin, a couple of podcasts before, that there was demos of a lot of these games, because it's hard to, you know, pick a game up for X amount of dollars on a picture or a screenshot or a video alone, you know?
Yeah,
right. Just like there's
like,
one.
And you're an indie title, you have to like make a really interesting name to like get attention, but like you get shit like Chompy Chomp Chomp Party, and if I don't know and if I can't get a demo of that and know what the hell it is, I'm not going to be like, oh, I'm going to buy that, because it sounds cool. It sounds like, what the fuck is this?
Right. Yeah, like, there's a game that's been on the 3DS eShop for almost as long as it's existed called, I want to say it's called Vector Racer.
Oh my god, that game was annoyingly benign and plain. That's where you let down by that.
Okay, yeah, well, that's the thing is, you know, I saw that, I'm like, oh, well, that looks really cool, you know, kind of throwback to Virtual Boy, vector graphics always look good in 3D, and I thought about getting it, but, you know, there's no information on it. It's like, okay, there's a video, and the video isn't even in 3D, if I'm not mistaken, and there's some screenshots, but it doesn't really, you know, I can't play it, so I can't tell whether it's any good.
Right.
And I read some reviews that were kind of middle of the road, and so I never ended up getting it. But
what you saw in the video is the whole game, pretty much. There's not anything else to it. I mean, it's a good racing game, but like, it's very plain. There's nothing else to it. There's no depth. Like, you don't unlock anything, really. It's just
I heard that, you know, it's a lot like playing Wipeout, but without the weapons. And, you know, the weapons are kind of what make Wipeout playable, because otherwise it's just a really hard floaty racer.
I wonder why there aren't more games that go free to play on the Wii U or the 3DS, because there's a couple of them that are that way, like Tank. I remember that went free to play after a while. And
that wasn't a bad game. It just seems free.
Right.
It seems like if you have the ability to do it now, then why not? You know, release all of your games for free and then, you know, say, well, if you want to unlock the rest of it, pay us $5, because, you know, the lack of demos on the eShop it's probably kept me from playing and buying a lot of games that, you know, I just won't give the time of day to now, because, you know, I don't know what they are.
Yeah, it's kind of depressing. I'm kind of with you there, because on the opposite end of the spectrum, when I turn on my Xbox One, I'm buying so many more games just because there's demos for them, you know, and I get a feel for it, and I'm able to, you know, make my judgment there. But no, I don't like basing my opinion solely on just watching like a YouTube video or like just reading a review. Like, I kind of would like to get my hands on it, you know, but it's not.
I did that with a Scribblenauts Unmasked, the superhero version, and I took it back a day later. I'm like, this is fucking terrible.
Right, yeah, like there's just some games that are like critically well received that are just not for you. It's just, that's just the way of things.
Yeah, I lost my stylus.
Oh no.
Found it.
So, yeah, that was all the new games coming out for 3DS and Wii U this week. So, if you're looking for some sales or you're looking for some Psycho Pigs, then, yeah, go ahead and head to the eShop. So we're gonna
There's a Psycho Pig running for president right now.
Well done.
Okay.
So we're going to move on to Nintendo Top 5. So this week we are going to talk about our favorite video game stories. So we're going to try and rank our top 5 video game stories. It's going to be kind of a tough one. At least it is going to be for me.
Yeah, it's especially tough for me. Ooh, and actually I forgot one that should definitely be on my list, so let me repair that.
Yeah, I've got 4 for sure on my list. I'm trying to fill in the last spot on there, but I'm having a tough time.
I can think of 3 really good ones, and that's all I've got right now.
I've got some filler here. I can start if
yeah, why don't you go ahead and lead us off, Justin, since it seems like you're the prepared one on this list today. Go ahead and give it a go.
Alright, and as usual, mine are going to be in no particular order. And I'll preface this by saying I, for the most part, do not care one bit about story in video games. If it's got a good story, then, you know, great, I'll go along with it. But for me, video games are really all about the game. And if the game isn't interesting, I couldn't care less about the story. And if this, you know, if the... Yeah, that's basically, you know, I play games to play games, and the story's just kind of icing on the cake. That being said, there are a few that stuck out for me when I was making my list. Most recent I'll start with is Grand Theft Auto 5.
Okay.
Grand Theft Auto, they usually go all out on their scripts, but it's not always engaging.
Right.
Grand Theft Auto 4, I had a hard time getting into. The Ballad of Gay Tony I liked a little bit more, but Grand Theft Auto 5, just all of the main characters were interesting. I was invested in their stories, the, you know, kind of the story arcs, and, you know, you've got the reformed criminal who's getting back into the life and isn't sure how he feels about it. You've got the sociopath who just wants to do everything, and then you got the, you know, up-and-comer who's, you know, just kind of started out a street thug and is getting his taste of, you know, real crime, and just, I don't know, I loved it. Loved it from beginning to end.
See, you know, I'm going to kind of interject there. I've never, like I've said before on the podcast, I can never really get into the Grand Theft Auto games just based solely upon the source material. You know, I'm just not down for, like, mass killing of people. But on the flip side, when you give me a different setting, like the Red Dead Redemption games, that kind of the storytelling, I'm sure it's similar, because, you know, it's the same company, it's Rockstar. So I really
well,
as long
as
that,
you
so
as long as you mentioned it, Red Dead Redemption is also on my list, and if I had to rank them, that would probably be on top. But, I mean, the thing about Grand Theft Auto V, there must be a fly in here because my cat is going nuts. Yep. I swear to God, Bagheera, if you trample me for this thing, I am going to throw you out a window. Anyway, where was I? Grand Theft Auto. The thing about Grand Theft Auto is the running around and killing a bunch of people isn't really part of the story. That's just kind of something you do when you're screwing around, and the missions are a little bit more in-depth than that. If you're killing a bunch of people, it's either your typical, you know, kind of shootout corridor, third-person shooter sort of, you know, randomly spawning bad guys sort of thing. Mm-hmm. It's not usually about creating mayhem. That's just what you do in your spare time. Red Dead Redemption, yeah, amazing, amazing story. So invested in the characters, and, you know, you can go so many different ways with it. You could be very middle of the road, you know, anti-hero. You could be play the game like a good guy. You could play the game like a bad guy. It doesn't affect the ending of the game or anything like that. I mean, the whole story plays out exactly the same no matter what you do, except for a few missions. But you just spend so much time crafting your character of John Marston that by the time you get to the end, you really are attached to him.
Right, yeah. I really dug the whole Red Dead Redemption storyline.
It's a great environment, too.
Yeah, the setting was so awesome. Like, right on the tail end of the, you know, the West being the West, you know? Like, it's right in the industrial era, you know? So it's it's super awesome. I really dug that storyline. But, yeah, good choice on that one for sure.
Let's see. Also on my list is Metal Gear Solid, and I'm going with the original / the GameCube remake, because I've only ever played a few of them, so I don't have much, but, you know, Metal Gear Solid was really the first game that did that cinematic style of gameplay, where, you know, you play the game for a while, then you get this... Oh, I forgot Mike's blowing his nose over there. I'm like, what the hell was that? Did somebody just let the air out of a balloon?
He's just letting us know he's still here.
Yeah. I'm
but
guy.
That was... anyway, Metal Gear Solid, the first time they really kind of took a Hollywood approach to games, and, you know, I go back and forth as to whether I thought that was a good thing overall, but yeah. At least that one did it right.
Right.
Now my last two are kind of stretching it a bit. I cheated on whether I put Super Mario RPG / Paper Mario because I really couldn't decide which one of those I liked better, uh-huh. But because they're both really funny stories with really clever dialogue and memorable characters and, you know, just entertaining
right
segments and stuff like that. So I really couldn't choose between the two of them. But for a character like Mario, who really has no story, they crafted some really good ones around him for the RPGs.
Yeah, I definitely like that they brought humor to Mario with at least with the Mario RPG and like the Paper Mario series that has followed. So it's been... That's been very welcome, you know, from the Treehouse. I think the Treehouse are the people that do the translations of those games. They do a pretty good job.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, they really do. They're just the dialogue in them is just, it's just amazing. And so, yeah, I just love them. In fact, when it was on sale, I bought Paper Mario for the Wii U Virtual Console, even though I already have it on the N64 cartridge, and I even hush I do have it on an emulator. Yeah. I know we're not supposed to say stuff like that, but you know, I bought it on cartridge, so the emulator is just a convenience thing for me, you know?
Screw that. But, like, every single device that I have that can have an emulator on it, pretty much it does at my house. So, right. You know, it's,
yeah.
Right. It's just so much easier than pulling out the old systems.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, like if I want to play Super Mario RPG on my Fire TV downstairs or on my Fire TV upstairs, I can, because I can sync the saves, which is great. It's like, you know, convenience is awesome. And if Nintendo had the convenience factor down, then there would be no need to have emulators, but it's just so sometimes it's just so much more convenient to use them. But
absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, it's not to go too far down this tangenty rabbit hole, but if I could, since I bought Super Mario World on the 3DS, if I could just download it onto the Wii U and sync the game save, I would just jump back and forth and play it on Virtual Console all the time. But because, you know, you can't do that, I don't really buy much on Virtual Console. But Paper Mario was definitely worth, especially when it was on sale. I think it was like $6 or something like that. I'm like, yeah, I'll buy this for $6.
Right.
And I will definitely play it again someday. And like I said, I'm near the end of Super Mario RPG. I'm on the hiatus, but I'm determined to beat that game soon.
Yeah. Well, cool.
Anyway, I got one more on my list, and I'm debating on this one. I really want to say the Uncharted games. Because Uncharted 1 and Uncharted 2 were two of the best games I've played recently. I haven't played 3 yet, but I feel...
3 is the only one I've ever played, and 3 had a really, really captivating story for me, so...
Yeah, I love the character. But I feel like Uncharted falls a little too closely into that whole let's make Hollywood a video game style, which, you know, a couple of these others are, so I'm actually going to go ahead and put Enter the Matrix on my list.
Oh, wow, that's an interesting choice. That's a deep cut.
Bear in mind, we're talking about story here, not gameplay.
Yes, because that game is a piece of shit.
I mean, the gameplay wasn't awful on it. It was just mediocre. There was nothing special about it.
Did you play it on PS2 or the Xbox original?
I played it on GameCube.
I originally played it on Xbox, but of course it had a couple of glitches in it, so when I ended up buying it, I bought it for the PS2.
Did that game actually come out on GameCube? I didn't even realize that.
Yeah, it was a two-disc GameCube game, and it was so glitchy, it was terrible. I hated it.
Yeah, so I mean, the game itself is mediocre. The gameplay has its fun moments, but the story so perfectly ties in with the Reloaded Revolutions universe, and you know, when they were making the movies, they were also making the video game, and they were making the anime, and they were making the comic books, and they made them so that they would all come together to create one story. The problem is most people only ever saw the movie.
Right.
So you miss out on huge chunks of the backstory if you don't play the games, and if you didn't, you know, watch the Animatrix and stuff like that. So as far as story is concerned, you know, I put it on the list because whenever I watch The Matrix trilogy, I always have to watch the cutscenes from Enter the Matrix in order to fill the gaps.
I only watched the first Matrix movie and the second one. I've never seen the third one, so I just never felt so invested in the story of the Matrix
universe. Yeah, I was gonna say, if you're into the story and the mythos, then yeah, definitely watch all three of them and the extras, and there's actually a YouTube video that I want to share with you. I would share with you just to get your opinion on it. But if you're in it just for the action, yeah, you don't really have to go to the third.
Wasn't there supposed to be a Matrix MMO that got canceled?
There was a Matrix MMO, The Matrix Online.
Did it actually happen though?
Yeah, It happened, wow. and it existed for a few years, but like most MMOs, it wasn't World of Warcraft, so it had to, you know, it died.
Yeah.
Well, cool. Well, all right, cool list. I don't know that I've ever played the Matrix game, but now you kind of got me interested, even though I don't know that I have time to be playing another 12 to 20 hour storyline, I guess.
It's just really quick.
I think it's more like 7 to 12 hours in that, you know, it's a short game, but if you're not invested in the story of the Matrix, it's not worth playing because the game itself isn't that great.
Okay. Fair enough. Well, cool. Well, do you got your list ready, Mike, or you want me to jump on and read my Nintendo Top 5?
No, I can make mine happen. I'm going to preface mine by saying that I, too, don't play for the story, and... Yeah, fuck you. But, I guess that's probably karma.
Yeah.
That's karma. But, I don't play for the story either, but when I do, it's a... not, like, an intentional game. Like, I don't play very story-driven games like Grand Theft Auto or Red Dead and stuff. I haven't played any of those, but...
You play a game for the game, and if the story is awesome, that's a bonus, right?
Yeah, I go for more, like, the escapism and, like, everything else with it. But, I'd have to say my first... I think my first one for number 5 would be either Paper Mario, Thousand Year Door, or 64. Hold on a minute. You going to bed?
Alright, you can't
even
see anymore.
All right. But, my fucking dad just walked in, just stood there for a minute. But, yeah, number 5, Paper Mario, The Thousand Year Door, or 64, I can't really decide which one I want, but,
Yeah, Thousand Year Door probably would have made the list if I had actually finished it.
Played it, yeah.
But what I have played of it is pretty awesome.
Yeah, like, they're both so good. Like, granted, they're not, like, in a canon with each other. There's not really, like, a big storyline. Well, they are canon, but they don't need to play one for the other or anything. So
right.
I guess they're interchangeable on my list. I can't decide which one they are, but Thousand Year Door is just so entertaining and, like, how captivatingly well-written it is.
Yeah.
Number four would have to be, shit. My brain's flaking. My mind is shutting off. Number 4 would be the Banjo-Kazooie series. Like,
yeah.
You're going to notice a lot of my stuff is, like, Nintendo-related, just because, like, I play mostly Nintendo, but there's some other stuff on here, too. But Banjo's wonkiness to it, and... and that. But,
yeah, Banjo... those games have such an engaging story.
Well, the world that those games create, you know, at least the original game, like, it's just so amazing, you know.
One and two have such a vast story to them, and they help create this amazing world that is already amazingly well designed and looks pretty and, like, has really wonky aspects to it. Mm-hmm. But then you find out there's some stories to all of it, and it just feels so, like, captivating.
Yeah.
See, now I'm going to interrupt for a second, and I know this is your list, so I'm just going to be brief. But if I had to pick a rare platformer that I'm to pick for best story, I'd have to go with Conker's Bad Fur Day.
I've never played Conker's Bad Fur Day.
Neither have I.
There's
something wrong with both of you. All right, carry on.
Well, I think it's on the rare replay on the Xbox One, so I'll have to give it a go.
Which version of it is on the Rare Replay? Because they did do a remake of it for the Xbox.
I'm almost positive it's the Xbox version. I can't imagine that they would have the original N64 version on there, but I can't.
Well, anyway,
number 3 would be Shadow of the Colossus, because I don't think that I've played like a more quiet story game than Shadow of the Colossus. It's like, there's no, like, really heavy, like, narrative to the entire thing. It's more like, okay, you know, your girlfriend is, I guess, imprisoned. You gotta kill these colossi, and I don't know. I think I'm judging this game more for the story, like, the gameplay itself. Not to say the story is bad. The story is great.
Well, I liked about that game so much, kind of like the Dark Souls series, is that the story isn't, like, laid out right in front of you. You kind of had to infer.
No, yeah, Yeah, you had to, like, figure it out by yourself. You had to walk around and, like, find these... You had an open-world sandbox to pretty much explore and find the story yourself. And I think that makes it good. That aids in a story for me. I don't want, like, a... I don't want a hand-written, like, story.
Yeah. I'm with you on that.
Yeah, like, if I want a story, I'll read a story. I'll read a book, which is, like, never gonna happen.
Like, Bioshock, I thought. I didn't think of it until just now, but Bioshock was a great one for a story that just kind of happened...
Right.
Around you, happened with you. You discovered the story. It wasn't, you know, there weren't cutscenes. It wasn't fed to you.
Absolutely.
Rare Replay uses the N64 version of Conker.
Oh, it does.
By the way.
Oh, okay, cool.
Oh, cool. Yeah, Shadow is number three for me. Number two would be I had number two as a PlayStation game. I don't remember what it is anymore. But I'm skipping. That one. Okay, number two. My new number two for me is going to be Metroid Prime, because the fact that
awesome.
Metroid. I'm trying to think of a way I can sell Metroid Prime and get Justin to finish the fucking game.
Have you?
I can mute my headset if you want.
Have you? What? You haven't finished yet, I assume, Justin.
No, I took a hiatus to play Luigi's Mansion, and I haven't gotten back into it yet.
Well, the story is so good on Metroid Prime. You're right about that.
It's Metroid Prime 1 is like, as a standalone game,
Let me put it this way. I've played Metroid Zero Mission, so I know the whole thing about Samus being raised by the Chozo, if that's what you're afraid of spoiling.
No, I wasn't saying I was trying to spoil anything. I'm just trying to find a way to, like, make the story sound interesting enough for you to pick up the game and finish it. I want you to finish Metroid, dude, because it's that good.
Yeah, it is. It's so good. It's just so good.
I want to at least finish Metroid Prime 1, so...
Yeah, like, before I knew there'd be a Prime 2, because I never got the true ending until, like, my third or fourth time playing Metroid Prime.
Uh-huh.
Like, as a standalone game, like, Prime 1 was, like, super, like, well done. Like, it had all these different places to go to, and, like, the story of, you know, hey, this is how, before there were, like, 35 Metroids left, and you had to find them all on this one planet that you couldn't find, because on Game Boy.
Yeah.
But before all that happened, here's how that got there, and here's how the world fell apart, and here's why the space pirates are almost non-existent, if they are existent at all in Metroid 2, I forget, but. Yeah, here's what happened to
No, the Metroid 2 is just the Metroids and the other creatures on the planet.
Yeah, the creatures. Yeah, like, this is how all this happened, and, like, here's how I'm going to tell it to you. Here's how Samus got all these different powers, and here's how it all works. And mm-hmm. I was just like, as a kid, I'm like, holy shit, this is super, like, in-depth and vibrant, and oh, there's so much backstory going on to it already.
Right.
And I just felt like Metroid Prime was, like, a really good way of showing how the GameCube can, like, have a very deep storytelling game and still be good and still be, like, a on-par game with, like, other systems and everything like that.
Yeah, and on top of the story being great, like, the gameplay is just, like, really one of the best games ever made. It's, like, so good. It's just excellent.
And again, another game that gives you the story as you play instead of, you know, force-feeding it to you in cutscenes or text boxes. You just kind of become a part of the story.
Right, and you can organically read the computer screens or not, you know, like, it's...
Yeah, you don't have to.
Yeah.
There's hidden story to you. Like, you can find out, like, oh, here's what happened to the space pirates before they got here, here's why they hate Samus. Or you just say, fuck it, I'm gonna just go shooty shooty pew pew and make my own story to it.
Right.
Yeah, what I plan on doing with Metroid Prime is I'm not doing all the scanning and everything like that. I'll scan things here or there, but mostly I just want to beat the game, and then what I figure I'll do is I'll go to the wiki and read the story.
Yeah.
Just so it's not slowing down the gameplay, and then I can do it while doing something else.
Right.
Yeah.
But Super Metroid impressed me with the way it's, you know, it feeds you a little bit of story in the beginning, and then lets you loose in this world, and then just bombards you with story at the end, at a time when story in something other than a role-playing game was, like, non-existent.
Right.
True. Let's see. Number one is going to be... You know what? Number one is Pokemon, because I said, fuck it. Pokemon has no story, but I can make my own, so it's perfect. Pokemon has the most
linear... It has a story.
It's the dumbest story I've ever played.
You've got to be the very best, like no one ever was.
Yeah.
Yes, okay, and I can sing you that whole song, but I'm not going to right now. I can sing the poker app, but I'm not going to. But, like, Pokemon's, like, main story in the games is so bland and... like almost non-existent. You can pretty much make up your own, and when it's any time in a game, you can make your own story and say, "Fuck it, this is how Pokemon is for me." And I'm too sick to remember what match number one was, so that's how I'm gonna go with that. So,
all right.
You don't write these things down.
No, I'm playing fucking Wave Race, man. I'm trying to win. I just unlocked hard mode. This shit is difficult all of a sudden.
It's nice to know you're so invested.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, then I'll piggyback off of that and I'll start my list. I don't really have an order either. I do have a definitive number one, but I'll leave that for last. So,
is it Pokemon? It's got to be Pokemon. Please tell me it's Pokemon.
Sapphire and...
It's the GameCube one.
Yeah.
Which one? There's two of them.
Gale of Darkness or whatever it was called. I don't remember.
Yeah.
I remember it existed. Beyond that, I don't know anything else.
So, my first game is Illusion of Gaia. I've mentioned this a lot before. It's actually, if you ask me what my favorite game of all time is, that's what I'll tell you. Illusion of Gaia, Super Nintendo game. Now...
Oh, Chrono Trigger, that's my number one. I was thinking about that. I was thinking the PS1 version of it or whatever.
Oh, man, Chrono Trigger is so good.
Chrono Trigger.
Where's my number? Oh, yeah. I've got that on the DS. That's another game on my bucket list.
Yeah,
I love
that.
Chrono Trigger.
There's like 100 different endings.
Yeah, like the first time I ever fought Lavos, or I even saw him, like that scream he like makes, like the 8-year-old me, like playing a Super Nintendo emulator and hearing that scream, I'm just like, I'm turning the game off. I'm scared.
Yeah, right.
It sounds like me when I was playing Shadow Man.
Right.
Oh man.
It's funny how
anyway. How
like, you know, back in the SNES days, they could the stories just seemed to be like, at least for me anyways, that's kind of where storytelling kind of really started to encapsulate me. I really started to look for storytelling in video games, and that's actually kind of why Illusion of Gaia is on my list, because while the story is kind of basic, it's just a son going looking after his lost father who has been lost at sea. It still really got me invested in the story with all the characters that are in the game, some of them that you lose along the way. It's really good. So yeah, that's one of the games on my list, Illusion of Gaia. Play it if you can find it. Next on my list would be Ocarina of Time.
Ooh, good one.
Yeah, that's another game like we were just kind of talking about. Like, yeah, it kind of does force the story to you at times a little bit, but when the game opens up to you, you're free to your own devices and you can go about looking for story, talking to every NPC if you want or not, you know. So that was one of the first games that really showed me that that storytelling could be more than just I don't know, just like Mario jumping on Goombas and stuff, you know?
Yeah, I'm a little bit older than you, so mine would be A Link to the Past, because Link to the Past is very much the same way, where you had the freedom to go around, you could talk to anyone or not talk to anyone, and, you know, there were moments, you know, basically after every dungeon, you would get a little bit of story, and on your way to the next dungeon, you get a little bit of story. But for the most part, you know, it was light on it. But when it did give you story, it, you know, much like Ocarina of Time, it just, what is that noise?
Oh, I'm playing Nintendo.
Oh, okay. I'm like, I know that little chirpy noise. What is that?
Well,
I actually just dropped Eugene in my Nintendo drop, and he got nothing for me. So I like
my dome isn't the right shape. I wasn't wearing the right afro that day. But yeah, no, I definitely remember playing Link to the Past as well. In fact, I played that for a whole year. I remember specifically because I got it at Christmas time, and it took me a whole year to beat it when I was like 7 or 8 or however old I was at that time. Yeah, you're right.
You beat it without a guide?
I beat it because I played it with my dad. He had his file and I had a file, so we were kind of riffing off of each other. And yeah, I don't think we had a guide. I don't ever remember having a guide. We just kind of, but that's the thing. I didn't really feel the need that I ever needed one, because I was fine just kind of exploring for exploring's sake. That was always fun to me in that game, even if I wasn't really
I beat that whole game without. Yeah, I beat that whole game without a guide. So, and my cousin was so impressed. How did you get? I was at Turtle Rock, which is the second to the last dungeon.
Uh huh.
I want to say, and my cousin's like, how did you get all the way this far without a guide? I'm like, what's a guide?
Well, you know...
Look at you. Don't you have a giant knocker? You beat that game without a guide. Oh, boy.
Well, the reason I put Ocarina of Time above Link to the Past on my list anyways is because, one, I didn't want to have two Zelda games on my list, but two, the whole the Sheik moment really... really set me off. I didn't see it coming. I don't know why I didn't see it coming. It was very telegraphed, but...
Well, I mean, we weren't used to that sort of stuff back then, so it was a surprise because you weren't expecting to be surprised.
Right, exactly. But it really threw me for a loop back in... back when I was... However old I was. Gosh, I don't even want to think about how old I was when I first played that game. But anyway, so that's...
I don't want to think about how old you were when you first cleared that game. I was in high school. Junior high school, but...
Yeah, I was in junior high for sure when I got that game, at least when it came out, so...
What was that,
98.
I was going to say it couldn't be 96. That's when the system came out. Yeah, 98, I would have been high school. I would have been junior year of high school.
I was in kindergarten.
Oh, boy. Moving on. So my next game on my list is a game that we've already talked about briefly, which is BioShock.
Oh, good. I'm glad it's on somebody else's list because I feel bad neglecting it.
Yeah, no. Oh, man, that I can definitively say that BioShock is probably in my top 5 games of all time, only for the would you kindly moment. So revelatory. It's just like, wow, that I didn't see this coming, but I can live with a different end boss, like the latter fourth of the game, I guess, was kind of lackluster, but that one...
It's after the big reveal, the game just kind of drags for an extra couple of hours. Like, it could have ended there, and I would have been happy,
Me too, right.
Yeah, that big moment was just like, oh my god, I can't believe, you know, and, I mean, spoiler alert, you know, I can't believe that they're basically telling me all the things I have done for them has been, and it's a real commentary on video games. You do what the game tells you to do.
Yes.
And because you got nothing else to do. And so, you know, it's just,
Know, the zeitgeist around that game when it first came out, there was nothing else like it. Like, everybody was talking about it. Well, I was working at a GameStop at the time, so I guess there was that. But everybody that was walking in would ask, did you play BioShock? How far did you get? Did you get to the ending? Did you get to the big reveal? And then after you found out that you guys were on the same level, then you start discussing, oh my gosh, did you hear about the would you kindly thing, all this stuff? It's like, oh, it's just great, yeah. But yeah, that's why that game was on the list.
Which ending did you get?
I got the good ending where I didn't harvest any of them. I saved all the little sisters.
Yeah,
so.
Same here.
I always tend to go.
Yeah,
good.
I saved them all.
If I had played BioShock, I think this would have been on my list for sure. Everyone talks about it. It seems like something I would just like be like right.
It didn't seem like it was in my wheelhouse, but I got it for cheap and played it and loved it. So.
Yeah, definitely, if you haven't played it, pick it up on the cheap if you can. I mean, the BioShock collection just came out, so that's a good way to get
it. Yeah, there you go. I haven't played Infinite yet, and I didn't even bother with 2.
Yeah, they're all... I would say that they're all good, but BioShock is great. So, next game on my list is Brothers, A Tale of Two Sons. So that one, have you guys heard of the game Brothers?
I think.
So it's kind of a smaller game. It's only, gosh, you can beat it in one sitting, like 3 hours. Think of like a game like Journey. But what it is you control the whole game by controlling two characters, two brothers, a younger brother and an older brother. And each brother is one control stick. So I believe the older brother is your left control stick, and the younger brother is your right control stick. And then you just use the trigger button on either side, and that's literally the only actions you have. So like the right brother, which would be the younger brother, if you hold the right stick, can maybe throw down a rope to the older brother and figure out a puzzle that way. Or maybe the older brother, because he's bigger and stronger, has to crank this shaft that the younger brother can't crank because he's just not strong enough. So you have to figure out a way to get the older brother to where the younger brother is. And yeah, it's really a awesome game. The story on it, the reason why these two brothers are going on this journey is because their father is sick, and they have to go and find medicine for him. And they, you know, they get into all kinds of different scenarios, and it really is riveting. If you can find it and you have the console to play it, really, really give it a shot. It's on everything. It's on Xbox 360, Xbox One, Windows Phone, iOS, Android. It's really on everything. So play it. It's super good.
Yeah. I'll look it up. Is it free to try or?
No, I don't think so. I paid like $10 to $15 for it when it came out on Xbox 360, like I think in 2013. But I don't know on iOS and Android. It might be like $2, $3, $4, or $5, something like that. But give it a shot. I would say that a touchscreen device is not the way to go on that one. But if it's your only option, then it's probably still gonna be good. So
yeah. It's $4.99 on the App Store, and I've been thinking about getting a like a Bluetooth controller, which a lot more and more games are compatible with nowadays.
Right. Yeah, I couldn't tell you if that game is compatible one way or the other, but, it's on...
It appears not to be.
Yeah.
This is an older game.
Right. But, it's on PS3, Xbox 360, it's on PS4 even, Xbox One now, it's backwards compatible Xbox One, so...
Well, what you can do nowadays is I have an Apple TV, so, I can stream the video to my television while controlling it, and that doesn't matter if I'm covering something on the screen.
Right. Well, that leads me to my final game and the last game of the Infendo Top 5 section, and that is Walking Dead, the Season 1, the Telltale series.
I'm curious about that.
That's definitely my definitive number one, I guess, for this list. Only because that's the only game that's managed to really draw an emotional response from me. I actually cried on episode 5, on the very last episode of the season. It was super, super sad. I'm not going to spoil anything because literally all the Telltale games, that's all it is story. So if I if I spoil anything, I'm going to spoil the entire game. But it's super good.
Now, does the Telltale game follow the show or the comics, or does it exist in its own?
It exists on its own
timeline.
Okay. But there are crossovers, like very, very small crossovers, but there are crossovers. It exists in the same universe, but it doesn't involve any of the show characters or anything like that, you know.
Okay, So you might encounter a character from the show, but it isn't actually
not even that. It's more like you go into this scenario where somebody from the show may have been, or somebody from the comic may have been, and there might be like little Easter eggs, little remnants of that.
Okay,
but nothing more.
Because I know the show doesn't follow the comics. Other than, it'll make reference and it'll bring in popular characters and locations, stuff like that. But other than that, the two exist in their own worlds. I was wondering if maybe the game followed the same characters but different paths.
No, like all the characters are new. They all have their own story, their own backstories. It's super good. And that game is a game that I could recommend on iOS or touchscreen devices because I played it that way. And I played that game. I've beaten season one specifically at least 5 or 6 times. It's super, so good. And the beauty of it is like you can play it multiple different ways. So like you'll everything that you do could give you potentially a different type of ending, so that's kind of cool.
See, I like that, and I've said this on the show at least once before. I would rather have a game that takes, you know, 5 to 10 hours to beat, but have multiple paths and multiple options so that I can play it over and over again, than a game that takes, you know, 50 or 60 hours to beat, and then once you beat it, that's it. You know, you've done everything there is to do.
Right. Yeah.
Which is my biggest fault with Grand Theft Auto and the other Rockstar games, is for how much freedom they could give you to create your own story, the stories themselves are usually linear and finite. So.
Right. Yeah. That's the beauty of these Telltale games. I mean, they're cranking out so many of them nowadays.
Everything.
Yeah.
They're like Lego games.
Right.
Alright folks, that's it. I told you the show would end a little bit abruptly, and well, you've come to the end. We are sorry that the rest of the show has been lost, but you can be rest assured that next week we'll come back bigger and better than ever. So if you want to keep up with everything that we are doing, of course you can keep on going to infendo.com. You can follow us on Twitter, @Infendo. You can follow myself, @InfendoEugene. You can follow Justin, @InfendoJustin. And you can follow Mike, @Mike_the_poet. Thank you all again for listening. This has been Infendo Radio, and we'll see y'all next week. Bye!